James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. James 1, 2 and 3, because on this Australia Day, I thought I would talk about something quite essential for our year. And I've simply titled the message, Take a Stand. Turn your neighbour and say it to them, take a stand. Take a stand. And I don't know if you've noticed, but trouble always comes. And James 1, verse 2 and 3, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for? Let it be an opportunity for? Joy. For when your faith is tested, oh my goodness. So when trouble comes, what God is saying actually is, let it be an opportunity for joy. Who immediately thinks that? Let's be honest. Who immediately goes, oh, trouble, oh, fantastic. No one does, do they? Let's be honest. So what's God saying through this verse to us this morning? But he's saying, don't allow yourself to slip. Don't allow yourself to fall away from the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hold on, everything's going to turn out. But don't not endure, endure further. All right? And obviously, if you go on in these passages in this scripture, it goes on to talk about it, which we'll talk about as we go along. Okay, so I haven't finished the scripture. For whenever your trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Oh, really? That could be a period of time, couldn't it? It might not be that short, but God's going to do something. And then, so let it grow. So let it grow. In other words, if you're enduring stuff at the moment, let it endure. Endure. Well, who's going to endure? Through the pain, through whatever you're going through your challenge, don't just think it's too hard and give up. Just hold on. And if nothing else, just hold on to God. Yes? So hold on. Hold on. For when your endurance is fully developed, who'd like more endurance? I know I would. More endurance for whatever you're facing today. You will be, I love this part, you will be strong in what? Character. Strong in? Character. Strong in? Character. And ready for anything. My goodness. It almost sounds like, if it was me, like, get ready, you're going to have some pain, you're going to have some trouble, but hang in there because it's going to help you become more resilient, and then you'll be able to take on more burdens, then you'll be able to take on more challenges, because right through life, it's not going to be easy for you. Don't despair, hang on to God, get through it with him, and stay strong in character for him. And so we need to make a choice. To live above the line. We've been talking about this last year. You know, we need a... You can open that, Sandy, and let the air circulate on a humid day like today. With our air conditioning, it needs to be open. So, we need to make a choice to live above the line. In that sense, we are... What I'm saying is that it's often easier through life to go to the circumstance, to go to the problem, to go to the people around you that will go, well, just do something else. Why do you keep serving in church? It seems like all too much trouble. Why do you give to God like that? I remember years ago when we first came to Fremantle, and I went to one of the MPs in Fremantle, and he couldn't believe that I was giving. He asked me, "How much do you give to church yourself, Nigel?" And I said, well, I give my 10%. He goes, what, 10%? And I was going to continue, and I realised that I'd lost him already. And but you know what? I'd rather have God on my side than some person. God is my saviour. God is my saviour. I'm not reliant on anybody else or any other thing or what the world says that I need, because we come at it from a different angle. And the Spirit, when we're in line with what God wants for our lives, there's going to be blessing. You know, if we were somewhere else, we probably would have got a really loud applause then. Wouldn't we? If this was a presence conference, everyone would have erupted. This is good. And, you know... It doesn't come naturally to us, does it, to think about good news. and to think about the positive. I don't know about you, but when trouble hits, immediately you go to the negative. It's kind of like, it's almost like part of who we are, part of our DNA. But God doesn't want us to be like that. And so it won't come naturally to us to have good news on our lips, and it's often not something. Who's glad, before I go even any further, that we're continuing to have good news stories? And so I want that to be a part of 2014 as well for us as a church, and for everyone to be able to pray. And not just Pastor Nigel, I'm happy to pray for people, but Shane can pray for Claire, and Claire can pray for James, and James can pray for Leonie, and it goes on, and we are actually a kings and priests together. I'm no more a pastor than any one of you, I just happen to have the position. Is that true? Is that what the Bible says? So when things haven't worked out, nothing's bringing us any comfort and joy, we must force ourselves to reflect on the good things he has done in our lives. We must what? Force ourselves to reflect on. Is that true? Sometimes when you're in the middle of it, you're in the poo. You're in the middle of it. It's hard, isn't it, to actually reflect. But we've got to go and say, Lord, please help me. I can, if nothing else, I'm glad for your salvation in my life. You've saved me, Lord. I appreciate what you've done in my life. He has changed circumstances in my world over and over again. When I think about it, you know, and some of the miracles that God has done in Andrea and my life, it can only be to the testimony of God. So you've got to go back to some of those good news things. I know that when I go to him, this is for all of us, when we go to him with our requests, he hears us, yes? He hears us. Sometimes we think it's going to be fixed like that, but then there's this verse, isn't there? We've got to endure us. Character grows within us. Through it all, we grow stronger, and we go stronger in God. Things don't faze us like they used to faze us. We're growing up into maturity, as the Bible talks about. You know, last year, just before Christmas, I asked Jared to drive his car because I didn't have a tow ball, and we were driving to get a trailer to pick up some rubbish from the church, and we were driving up not far from here, driving up the road, and without any knowledge, any sort of warning or anything, I was about a 3-ton truck just pulled out in front of Jared's little car. I was in the passenger seat, and we simply bounced off the car, off the truck, because it was a big truck, and the airbag popped. I was sort of unhurt, saw the whole thing coming, you know, as you do, and jumped out of the car and went and grabbed the other guy because I wasn't sure if he was going to take off or he was drunk. And so I just wanted to be sure, and didn't think much about where Jared was at this point in time, I must admit. And I think he was still in the car with the airbag popped and kind of like, I've got to get out of here. Anyway, fortunately, he seemed all right. He's had some back pain since. But what I want to get to in this is that something else happened. I'd go and the man actually lived on that street that hit us. And so I went into his house for about 10 minutes, had a glass of water, calmed down a bit and got all the insurance details and things. And the whole time there was this other man that was talking to Jared and saying, you were drunk, weren't you? And pestering him and constantly getting into his face and saying, oh, you're all the same. You're all layabouts. You're all drunkards. And it was just horrible. And it was like it was direct from the devil. And sometimes the devil tries to get at us. And if he can't get us somehow, he'll get at us in a way that we're not thinking, out of left field. Can you imagine if suddenly there's no more Pastor Nigel and Jared? And when there's situations like that, you've actually, and I know Jared's had to do this as well, you actually have to go to what God has already done and think, you know what? God is bigger than any circumstance that I face in my life right now. God is more important to me right now than some flipping weirdo or whatever it is trying to tell me who I am. I will not accept who I am. I'm a son of God. And when we have those kind of situations in our life, and when things seem to be against us, we simply, whoever we are today, no matter who we are, we stand for the living God. We are saved, and there is nothing that can harm us. There is nothing that can defeat us. We can live in the knowledge that God loves us no matter what. So every time you feel like you're put down, or every time you feel like things aren't going your way, don't accept it. Simply do not accept. You're bigger than that, right? We're all bigger than that. We're all bigger than that because we're all growing up in God and towards Him, and we know that the Word of God is stronger than any other thing in our life. We will stand on the Word of God. So when trouble comes, what are we going to do, church? We're going to stand. Take a stand. Come on, say it with me. Take a stand. If you need to, stamp on the ground and go, I'm taking a stand against that thing in my life right now. I take a stand. I'll take a stand. If David and Claire hadn't taken a stand last year, they would not have got their house. If we don't take stands in our lives, we can miss out on the blessing of God, and we sometimes have to persevere and fight. Because when there's good news, there's an enemy that wants to rip us apart. Is that true? But let's hang on to the good news. Whew. Oh, it's warm in here. Are you guys okay? Okay. Okay, I'll keep going. I can always go and have a shower afterwards. The devil has all kinds of tricks that he wants to play on us. Let's take a stand. You know, oh, this is really cool. I remember being in my garage, because that's where you know by now, if those of you have been in church long enough, that I often pray in my garage. And before, not now, but I don't know, a year ago or so, Jared's car was always in the garage because he was on learners and all that. And you know, I know you might think I'm completely nuts now, okay? Just hold on to your seats. And so I'm praying, and every now and then I just felt like it was the Holy Spirit. I've done the same with Sarah's car, and I'd lay hands on the bonnet. I'd lay hands on the bonnet and go, when these guys are driving, when Jared's driving, look after it. Don't really, you know, I'm telling you, there's power in prayer. It could have been a lot worse. The car was written off, by the way. They looked at it, took one look at it down at the smash repairs. Have you ever tried to drive when there's an airbag in your face? I managed to drive it. The policeman's nodding his head, disbelief. I won't go take that any further. It was only down the road, Roy. Okay. And anyway, and the guy goes. He takes one look at it. He goes, "How much is insured for?" "Nah, written off." Just like that. We don't realize what we carry because we've got the Holy Spirit in our life. We've got God on our side. Anyway, keep going. No harm laying hands on things, guys. Seriously. No harm. I remember Tim Hall once. This dog was annoying him up in Kalgoorlie. Daryl Hall told me this story, C3 Church Kalgoorlie, and this person was going to keep yelling out while Pastor Tim's trying to preach and going, "Will you heal my dog? Will you heal my dog? Will you heal my dog?" And in the end, Tim got so sick of it, he grabbed the dog, put it up on the thing, and it was like, oh, you know. And so he prayed for it. The dog turned up on its back, all four paws, worshiping God. It was never again had a bad moment. True story. See, when your faith is tested, the Bible says in James 1:3, your endurance has a chance to grow. Your endurance has a chance to grow. Allow your faith to rise, even as we're sitting here this morning. See, God raised Christ from the dead. Who's pleased about that? There's a lot of power there. God raised Christ from the dead. The devil is in a losing battle. Take a stand. Tell your neighbor once more, say, take a stand. See, David and Goliath. Probably one of my favorite stories. I don't know if it's because I feel like a warrior myself sometimes, but I love this story. And the Bible says that when Saul and his men were camped and the Philistine champion, now you can imagine the story. You've heard it many times, most of you. For those of you who haven't, well, here it is to some degree. And the Philistine giant keeps coming out day after day. And he kept saying something. Now, before I go any further, how many times do you get badgered day after day about stuff? And the enemy keeps trying to come and barrage and make things appear worse than they actually are. Sometimes it might be because we've sinned, but the devil tries to actually make it seem worse than what it is. And all we need to do is say, Lord, please forgive me, or go to the right people, and it's gone. But we hold on to stuff, do we not? And we don't need to. God is our Savior. Yes, we've got to do some stuff. You don't need to come to Pastor Nigel. You don't need to go to a confession box. You have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can pray to him and ask for forgiveness. Go to those people that it concerns, and you can be totally transformed in that moment. If that's for anyone here, because I wasn't planning on to share it, let that be your 2014 of I'm thankful for my God who loves me and for people around me that love God just as much as me. I'm moving on this year. I'm not allowing those things to take a hold of me any longer. And on this Australia Day, I thank the Lord that I have a relationship with him which helped me relate with others so that I can have my very best life. Amen? So here's this Philistine giant. What was his name? Goliath. Goliath keeps coming out every day, every day, every day. Where was Saul at this moment? He's cowering, the Bible says. Cowering. For those of you, that means like he's in a corner. He's timid. He doesn't want to face the problem. And yet he's the leader of Israel at that point in time. He's cowering. And so what if that's the leader, what are his men doing? Cowering. They're worried. They're thinking, I don't know how to get through this. Now, I want to take this somewhere this morning, so hang on. Listen to what I'm saying. For 40 days, 1 Samuel 17, verse 16, for 40 days, twice a day, morning and evening, the Philistine giant strutted in front of the Israel army. And God wants us to take on his character, his values, and his overcoming spirit. I want to read to you from the Message Bible in Ephesians 4:22 before I pick up this story again on a great passage of scripture that ties in with what we're talking about today. Take on an entirely new way of life. Who liked that? Take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. Wow. God's ultimate goal for your life on earth is not comfort, but character development. Really? Yes. God's ultimate goal is it's not about you, it's about our character development in him. And Saul has had, up until this point in time, so many opportunities to take a stand. And I'm sure there are people here this morning that you've had opportunities to take a stand. And this morning I want to give you another opportunity to take a stand and say, Lord, I'm not going to allow that thing to be a problem to my life any longer before this meeting is out. And be enduring in faith. Unfortunately, as we know, Saul decided to reject the word of God. Sometimes he did some part of what the leader said, and we're talking about Samuel. You know, it's always good to do what our leaders say. Seriously. It shows something about our development of character or not, does it not? So you can just rebel a little bit, like Saul did. But God wants something more, does he not? So let's look at this a bit more. Over and over again, Saul wouldn't listen. He'd do part or most of what the Lord asked him to do, but he never did everything when Samuel gave him the things that needed to be done. He did not follow through on the process established, the things that were agreed upon. He did not heed the appropriate advice given to help him. He went ahead and did stuff that he simply knew was not what God wanted. Now, we've all done that, haven't we? Let's be honest. We've all done stuff that we know that God doesn't want us to do, but we decide we're going to do it anyway. Who's with me? Am I the only one? Seriously. We're all subject to it. But I tell you, if we're constantly doing things that we know are against the will of God, we need to be careful. This year, I'd love to see more good news. There's something that helps create more good news, and it's our relationship with God. Who's listening? It's our relationship with Him. See, we don't decide on what's best for our lives or take the parts that we like but change the other parts that we don't like because it doesn't suit who we are. We trust in the Word of God and those people that God has put in our lives so that we can go forward and have our best life, yes? And so we can't stand for God when we're going off and doing our own thing, can we? Say, well, this is what we need to do. These are the things that need to happen in church. This is the vision. This is what's going forward. We have to, at some point, we have to go, well, God can use me, or God can utilize who I am through what we're doing. And otherwise, the leadership and some of those other things that will happen will help to change some of those things as time goes on. But we can't just go, I know what I'm doing, and not listen to godly wisdom. Is that true? We've got to have counsel around us. And so I'm glad we have connect groups in church for that reason. And I want to see those grow and get larger this year. And we can't take heed from this story. What I want to do is we can take heed, from this story from a leadership perspective. We all have the Word of God to follow. We all have others more senior than us that we can follow and listen to. And when we follow, we don't just follow the parts that we think are okay. We follow. We follow again and we keep following. Why did David get the job in the end of taking down the giant? Come on. Why did David end up getting the job when he was the least? He was like a boy, the Bible says. Young man, about Bremer's age. Bremer's more handsome, but, you know. And, you know, he's there and he says, well, you know what? I've done everything my father asked of me when he's asked. Wow. I fought the lion. I've looked after the sheep. I've done everything that my father's asked. But as he's gone down to give the food to his brothers, the Philistine giant comes out, Goliath comes out, and shouts out, I defy the armies of the living God. And something immediately rose up in his spirit and go, no. I am not accepting that for me and my people. And something has to rise up in our own spirit and say, I am not accepting that for me and my family, number one. Mums and dads here. I am not accepting that for my church, whatever that situation is, whatever that business situation is, whatever situation you are facing, maybe this turmoil in family, whatever it is, I am not accepting that because I am not about to reject what God has done for me all over the years. I will stand on the word of faith and I will stand, I will take a stand. And that's why Goliath had no chance. And doesn't it always seem like it's always mounting? 40 days later, when's the end coming? Does it end? Does it end? Does the problem always end? It always ends. But how have you traveled through it? How have you traveled? How have you gone through that situation? How could you? Have you stood and said, well, you know what? I know which way I'm not going to turn. I know which friends I'm not going to talk to because I know that that's going to cause me more pain in the long run. And I know that God has sweet victory for me. One stone, bang. End of story. You know what David said? And this is, I think, what we need to, all of us this year, need to take on board. It's not my fight, it's the Lord's. Come on, say it with me. It's not my fight, it's the Lord's. Whatever situation you're going through and you love God this morning, whatever it is, and there might be multiple, whatever it is, it's not what? My fight, it's the Lord's. It's not my fight, it's the Lord's. Who feels better already? It's not my fight, it's the Lord's. See, Saul was asked to follow through on defeating the Amalekites just before this story. About 1 Samuel 15. And he only half listened, and he did this over and over again, as I've explained. And you can read it for yourself. You will end up making trouble for yourself by half listening to what God wants for your life. Samuel said to Saul, because there was a situation, and it was quite clear, God asked him to do this, this, and this. And Saul did part of that, and part of that. We can all be subject to this in our life. And Samuel said to Saul, after lots and lots of times of Saul doing this, and he just looked at him and said, "How foolish." Sometimes we've got to hear. How, what? Foolish. I don't want to be a fool this year any more than you do, I'm sure. Let's hold on to things that God has for us in our life. Why ultimately was David chosen and Saul rejected as king? I've moved on from that scripture, it's okay. And it was simply this. Because Saul said, well, made up some excuse after he'd not done what he'd asked. He says, well, I was gonna sacrifice them to the Lord. I was gonna sacrifice that stuff to God. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. God wants our obedience. Who's willing to be obedient to what God wants for our lives this year? Who's willing? Now, I know we're all going to mess up to some degree, but who's willing to give it our best shot? Come on. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to go, well, I didn't hear quite right there, did I? Or I didn't listen to that person as well as I should. Maybe I should have asked more questions. But let's help one another be obedient to God and what he wants for our lives. Who thinks that's going to produce a lot more good news? Who thinks that's going to mean that we're going to defeat a lot more enemies? Come on. Whew. Right here, right now, Lord, let's pray. Right here, right now. Father God, Lord, I pray that we'll be transformed from the inside out, that we would take courage. Lord, that we would endure. Lord, when the trials come, that we would consider them a great joy, even though in actual fact it's often pain. But we know what you're saying, Lord, and we will go through it and we will come out of it with stronger character as we hold on to you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Take a stand. If you're a young person here today, can I just give some points on what the Bible says? Take a stand. Listen to your parents. I know a lot of the kids are out, but those of you who are old enough that are still here, listen to your parents. Will you do that, children? If you're under your parents' roof, what does the Bible say? All the adults know. Listen to who? Parents, if you've got guardians, listen to your guardians. If you've got grandma, grandpa, listen to grandma, grandpa. Whoever it is that's over you, listen to them. Adults, whoever is over us, whoever is around us, let's listen to them, heed good advice, yes? No different. So many people around me that I can listen, that I personally wouldn't be without. Let me say this too. Take a stand. Take a stand against sexual immorality. Adults and younger people, take a stand. If you're a young person, stay a virgin till you get married. That would go against the trend of this life, wouldn't it? Who thinks that would put a rocket up the devil's backside? Come on. Let's stand. Let's stand. Let's take a stand. Let's take a stand this year and be obedient to the word of God for our lives. Take a stand with your money this year. Yes, I have a relationship with God. I know I'm going to give my 10%. I'm going to tithe to God. I'm going to give offerings to God because I know in the end he's my Savior. He's my Lord. I love him. Take a stand with your spouse and family. We're going to honor you this year, Lord, as a family. Take a stand and decide that the house of God, regardless of all the other issues that are in life and all the other things that come in, the house of God is important to me. Let's take a stand. If you haven't been water baptized, there might be adults here this morning. We do a water baptism, I think it's March. Let's get water baptized and say, oh, I'm taking a stand for Jesus. I believe in him, but now I'm acting. I'm going through. And trusting in God. Take a stand. Make the most of your relationships with other disciples. When God is number one in your life, you find the resolve to get through whatever battle. And the beauty is there's other people that also have God number one in their life that can help us. We're not alone. And that's why David was able to say this in 1 Samuel 17 verse 2. Don't worry about a thing, David told Saul. I'll go fight this Philistine. Who's prepared to fight the things that come against us this year? As tough as they are. If David can defeat a giant of that magnitude, I believe that story's there to prove that nothing can defeat when we have the relationship with God and obedience with God. We have more clout and more angels around us than the enemy can ever muster. Faith produces courage to defeat any enemy, no matter how big. James 1:4, I'll finish here. When your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. ready for?